someone who at one point looked like he was going to become an all-time legend may have seen his career, or at least his time in New York, and in kind of a humiliating manner. This is Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, which is being dropped on the third day of May, 2022, we're going to be looking at the fallen legacy of Robinson Cano, look at two conflicting reports of the fate of the A's, and do a quick run-through of what happened at Major League Baseball while you were asleep. Thanks so much for making Locked On MLB your first listeners. We're available on all your free podcasts and catchers, and you can catch us on your smart device if you say play podcast Locked On MLB. Or check out some of the other great Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day, including Locked On Diamondbacks with my sometimes co-host here, Miller Thomas. And also check out Locked On Yankees with Stacey Gus, who is a fantastic host and was the person who dragged me into this whole Locked On world. And I appreciate that. Hey, Stacey is quite happy. If you want to go check her podcast out, go check it out. The Yankees are on an absolute just rampage right now. They've won their last 10 games, and they're winning it in ways, as Stacey pointed out on her show, that they would have lost last year. When you take a look at today's game, the Yankees' big bats were silent. Jordan Montgomery was on the mound. They're playing a tough Toronto team, but Gleyber Torres, of all people, got a home run and in the ninth inning. Drove in all three of the Yankees' runs. They rested Aroldis Chapman for the day. Doesn't matter. They brought in Chad Green. He got the save against Toronto. The Yankees are now 17-6. Toronto is 15-9. I know it's too early to check out the scoreboard, except as I keep mentioning, these games count just as much. And if the division really winds up between the Yankees and the Blue Jays, which it very well could be, these games will matter big time later on in the season. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I didn't pick the Yankees to be a playoff team for the same reason that I didn't pick the Red Sox to be a playoff team. I did not have faith in the depth of the Yankees pitching staff. Well, as it turns out, their pitching staff has been unbelievable. And it's never the wrong time to go on a 10-game winning streak, especially when it's up against a rival. Now, in the all, which team is going to get a new stadium faster matchup, the Rays played in front of friends and family in Oakland, and Rasmus Company and Yandy Diaz led the Rays to a 6-1 victory over Oakland. So the Rays are obviously continuing to play very well. The Mariners got shut out by the Houston Astros. Again, but if the Mariners want to win this division, they've got to win these head-to-head matchups with Houston. And while Marco Gonzalez pitched quite well, thank you very much, Jeremy Pena got a two-run home run. Odorizzi pitched well, and the Astros wound up winning that. The two teams are in a deadlock right now. They're both 12-11. And they're both right now following the Angels, who are 15-9, but they lost to the White Sox. And Dylan Cease, who had a terrific game where he threw 7 shutout innings and struck out 11 batters along the way. The White Sox are off to a clunky start, but let's face it, we all know they're much too talented to not be a major contender in the American League Central. The Central is still led by the Minnesota Twins. Chris Paddock pitched quite well. They did what the Red Sox could not do over the weekend, which was win a game against the Baltimore Orioles. Okay. Red Sox won one game against the Orioles, but still, the Twins doubled them up 2-1. The bats weren't there, but the arms were. Duran got his first save of the year. Pablo Lopez has looked like a Cy Young contender in April, but his first start in May was a clunker. Peralta of the Diamondbacks hit a two-run home run. Gallen pitched wonderfully, and the D-backs jumped on all over Lopez. It got to a 5-0 lead. Then the Marlins had it to 5-4, but they held on to that very score. Great pitching matchup between Matt of the Cardinals and Zach Greinke of the Royals. Greinke's pitching pretty well. He doesn't have a win to show for it, and today was a prime example why. The Cardinals shut out the Royals by a final score of 1-0. Greinke pitched wonderfully. He pitched 6 innings, didn't walk a batter, and he only threw 88 pitches. Probably could have been, but, you know, I don't think pitchers are allowed to do that, or they need to get a letter from the Pope. Also around the league, the Mets loaded the bases with a chance to tie or take the lead in the 7th. Didn't get a single run out of it. And then it was Travis d'Arnaud, former Met, who got a 3-hit night. The Atlanta Braves and Max Fried defeated Bassett and the Mets 5-2. Mets still are leading the East. The Braves, who many people include, well, no, I did win the division. So we'll see how that all unfurls. And that was it. I think that, yeah, that was it. They have a relatively light game. Light slate of games going on. The Braves and Mets are playing a doubleheader. Charlie Morton and then Wright, who's off to a great start for the Braves. They're the two starters for the Mets. TBD and TBD are those are the two stars for the Braves. TBD and TBD are pitching for the Mets. The Padres and the Guardians. Clevinger, who I thought pitched for the Guardians, but apparently he pitched for the Padres. I totally forgot that. Plesac is going to be pitching for Cleveland. Castellanos is going to be pitching for Arizona and Rogers. Rogers was an all-star last year with the Marlins. He's off to a rough start this year. If he starts pitching well with the way the rest of the Marlins pitching staff is, I know I'm a broken record about this, but they're an intriguing team. And the fact that they have a winning record, even with the loss to the D-backs, I don't know. I find them being an interesting team to watch. There's going to be lots of scoring when the Rangers and the Phillies square off in Philadelphia tomorrow afternoon. Zimmerman is pitching for the Orioles. I can't believe he doesn't play for the Nationals because I thought only the Nationals were allowed to employ players named Zimmerman. Ryan's going to be pitching for Minnesota. The big game is Jameson Taillon versus Alek Manoah. Manoah has been fantastic. He's been unbeatable pitching for Toronto this year. But the Yankees are on a 10-game winning streak, so this is a big, big matchup there. The Noah Syndergaard in Turn Back the Clock night, as the Angels love the bringing players from the 2015 under their team. Syndergaard's pitched well for the Angels so far. He's going up against Michael Wacha, who has also pitched quite well for the Red Sox. A very intriguing matchup going on in Fenway. The Pirates and the Tigers are playing. In a game that really would have made people excited in 1909. The All-Chicago Series, the White Sox and the Cubs, oddly, both teams have the same record right now. They're both 9-13. Kopech versus Smiley. Smiley's with the Cubs? Did I totally forget that? It's funny. The White Sox are the consensus pick to win the American League Central, and the Cubs are looked upon as an also-ran. But here they are at this point. They're even. The Reds and the Brewers. The Reds have 3 wins. Okay, let me just repeat that. Manoah of the Blue Jays has 4 wins. The Reds have 3 wins total as a team. And it's probably not going to get much better because they're going to be facing Woodruff and the Brewers. Woodruff is actually not to a great start, but he's a quality pitcher, and the Brewers are the better team. Flexen is going for the Seattle Mariners versus Christian Javier. Mariners, win these games. Believe me, you want to win a division? Win these games. They're important to go head-to-head. The All-Missouri Series, Keller versus Hudson. The Nationals are playing the Rockies. And the A's are playing the Rays once again. And, hey, Dodgers-Giants start tonight in Chavez Ravine. Both teams are 14-game winners. So that's a wrap-up of what happened in baseball while you were asleep and what to expect today as we start trying to see the team's hold. But hey, I'm going to talk a little bit about a player who's going to need a job pretty soon. There's a player for the New York Metropolitans, used to be with the New York Metropolitans, who right now should be getting his resume ready. And you know what? As small businesses grow, LinkedIn Jobs is out there. So if you got resume seekers like Robinson Cano, he should be going to LinkedIn Jobs. Look at, for small businesses, you can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and go beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people, including your pal Sully. Then add your job and the purple hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help find you and get the right people for you to hire. They've got simple tools like screening process to make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and why. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading companies. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week, nearly 40 million jobs visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions, they do apply. And hey, what are we talking about now? I'll tell you exactly what we're talking about right now. We are talking about betonline.net. It's your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about trends and action. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. And hey, once again, thanks so much for making Locked On MLB your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast, recaps of baseball games with analysis from our local experts, taking fans through the season like no other network, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. All right, we're going to talk about Robbie Cano. Robbie Cano, DFA'd. They have a new way they're doing it, and I think it makes a heck of a lot of sense that you have an expanded roster at the beginning of the year, after like a month or so, you get to reduce numbers than they're doing. And the Mets have players on their team who just was not it. And the fact of the matter is there is what is called the sunk cost fallacy, where the mentality that has you say, well, look, it, we've already made X amount of money for this player. We're already invested this much money on them. We've already traded away Kelnick, who's one of our top prospects, to acquire him before the 2019 season. So we've got to put him out there. The sunk cost fallacy. Well, the new owner of the Mets saw that that's a logical fallacy. And he is slashing, you know, 195 batting average, 33 on base, 269 slugging. And he is not a spring chicken anymore. You know, this is his, this is what he's been in the league for, what, 18 years now? Something like that. His rookie year was 2005. The same year my kids were born. He's going to be 40 years old this October. And 40-year-old middle infielders with two PED suspensions who can't hit. You know what? It doesn't matter that they owe him, what, 10, 15 million, something like that this year, plus 20-something million next year. The Mariners are paying part of his salary based upon that trade. Doesn't matter. He is not going to help the team. He's played 12 games since 2020, and they've not been very good. He's not been a good player. And so, whether you like him or not, the Mets saw that they're better off paying him to be elsewhere. And that's the thing. The whole idea of like they can't afford to, you know, not play him because they're spending all this money. They're going to spend the money anyway. And so the Mets bit the bullet. This is part of the new ownership. And sometimes you have to do that. When the new management took over the Red Sox front office in 2017, when they built those division winners, they saw that Pablo Sandoval was taking up space. They saw that Hanley Ramirez was taking up space. And they got rid of both of them. They just dumped them. They paid their contract, but they got rid of it because they said, no, we have to spend the money. Well, fine, but it doesn't mean we have to pay you. Now, someone's going to pick up Robinson Cano. There are a bunch of teams that are out there who could say, hey, look, it doesn't cost us anything. It won't cost any players. It won't cost us and beyond just the league minimum. And what if you get a mad Robinson Cano? You get someone who wants to prove that he's not someone who should just get cut. Or maybe someone with the pressure off of him can revert back to the player who was he'll never be the top 10 MVP finisher. It wasn't all because of steroids either. But you know what? I mean, this is coming from someone who was a native New Englander, classic Yankee hater. I didn't want to see it end this way for Robinson Cano. And let me tell you why. There was a lost opportunity for Robinson Cano's legacy in New York. Now, I don't blame him for leaving the Yankees after the 2013 season. He probably sniffed around. He saw the core was being broken up. Maybe some lean years were coming towards the end. Indeed, there were. They missed the playoffs a few times. And he wound up signing a massive contract in 2013, a 10-year deal to sign with the Seattle Mariners. Now, look it, and this is coming from someone who I love the Pacific Northwest. You turned down a 10-year contract. You turned down 10 years of guaranteed money. Seriously, go ahead and do it. Let's see you do it. You can't, because it would be a dumb thing to do. He took the big, huge, honking contract that the Yankees would not offer him, and off he went. Now, he could have had a unique position in Yankee history. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. He emerged just after the clash of the 03 and 04 ALCS. And some different faces started popping up on the Yankees, And some different faces started popping up on the Red Sox. And by 2009, the Red Sox had a homegrown MVP candidate, actually, who won the MVP, at second base, who helped lead them to a World Series title. And the Yankees had a homegrown MVP candidate at second base who helped lead him to a World Series title. Remember in 2009, he played 161 of those games, hit for power, hit for average, played very well in the field. And Robinson, and had the assist on the final out to win the World Series. And he didn't particularly have a great series that year, to be fair. But he had a couple of series along the way that he was very, very good in. Series against Cleveland, in a series against two series against Texas, one series against Detroit, a series against Minnesota. He had some terrific series along the way. And you could have had two things happen. Kind of a New York Boston, are you a Pedroia guy or a Cano guy? Because compare the two of them, which I think makes rivalries healthy when you have homegrown stars. And it was a new kind of potential rivalry for Yankees Red Sox in that, as I said, both Pedroia and Cano were not that 03-04 interlocking. They came afterwards. And they also came at a point where both teams were World Series winners. So neither one of them had the baggage of, this team's never won, this team always wins, blah, 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 blah. Also, I thought, as everyone saw Jeter's career was winding down, there was a possibility that this could really become Cano's team. that there could have been some sort of a weird passing of the torch of leadership, the way that O'Neill and Cone and Boggs and Tino Martinez were all the leaders on the Yankees when Derek Jeter was a rookie, and Jeter and Posada and Pettit and Bernie Williams were the leaders when actually Pettit was with the Astros that year, but I digress. When Mariano Rivera were the leaders on the team when Cano began, you might have been able to see Cano be the leader when the new batch of Yankees came up to the system, but he was off in Seattle. There was also a chance that I was hoping if the Mets won the World Series this year and Cano was part of this team, you know, there's only been two players who appeared on the postseason roster and played in the postseason for two New York champions, two franchises to win the World Series. I'm talking Dodgers, Giants, Yankees, Mets. Only twice has there ever been a player who played in October for a World Series winner, not just on the bench, but actually appeared in the game for a team that won the World Series for two different franchises of New York baseball teams. Daryl Strawberry and Dwight Gooden. Oh, but Sully, Dwight Gooden wasn't on the 1996 roster. I know he was on the 2000 roster, and he played in that year's postseason. And Strawberry played for a couple World Series champions with the Yankees. They both played with the 86 Mets. But what about David Cone? David Cone wasn't on the 80s with the Royals at the time. There was no Giants, no crossover with Dodgers with the Yankees, or cross-pollinated amongst each other. And I thought it would be interesting if Robbie Cano played on a Mets team that won the World Series, that he would be included in that strange fraternity. A fraternity that would include two players with gigantic potential who had wonderful careers, but there was that sense of, ooh, what could have been with both Gooden and Strawberry, and what could have been with Cano. The PED suspensions. You know, if he stayed in New York, yes, he would have had the PED suspensions. But New York fans look past it sometimes. You don't believe me? Andy Pettit's number is retired. So, look, it. May we all have 17 years in the major leagues. May we all make more money than we can ever spend. Robinson Cano's great-grandchildren can go to college on him. But he could been an interesting figure in both New York sports history and part of the rivalry with the Red Sox and Yankees in a way that we've never seen before. Another example of a lost potential rivalry matchup in terms of positions was when the Red Sox traded away Mookie Betts, and you could have had the Betts versus Judge comparison forever, but I digress. Robbie Cano, what do you know? He's probably not going to go back to the Yankees. They're playing too well. He's probably going to wind up going to a team, or maybe the Marlins, their best hitter is a second baseman. Maybe he's definitely going to go back to Seattle. I don't know. There'll be a team that'll take a flyer on him. There's absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain. And if it doesn't work, guess what? You can cut him again. But the fact of the matter is, Cano had a chance to be a New York legend. And instead, he has to basically settle for the tremendous compromise of being a multimillionaire, all-star World Series champion from New York. I'm just saying. Maybe they could give him something else for his troubles. Maybe they can give him a Built Bar. Built Bars are the best tasting protein bars out there. They're healthy and delicious. No more sacrificing food for health. With Built Bar, you can have both. It's easy. All you have to do is go to Built.com and order now. All Built and Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means with Built Bar, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. The Puffs are great with flavors like banana cream pie and even churro. Who doesn't want to have a protein bar that tastes like a churro? And if that's not enough flavor for you, then why not try a mix box? The mix box comes with 12 flavors of Built Bars and Puffs. Built Bar makes sure that there's some everybody. My favorite flavor is raspberry. Some people like the cookies and cream. I know Stacy Gotsoulias likes the mint brownie. There's something for everyone, and most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, and 14 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which is a candy bar. Come on, who are we kidding? Go to Built.com, get all your favorites, banana cream pie, double chocolate, whatever, so many more. They're all delicious, and new flavors are coming out all the time. Check them out at Built.com. Go to Built.com, get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off at Built.com. I just want to quickly tap on this. A couple of people asked me about that player who won the Cy Young Award, who got suspended in Los Angeles. Good. I've got nothing to say about him. I don't think the Dodgers should have touched him with a cattle prod. I'd like to see baseball showing some teeth to their domestic violence policies instead of the light taps on the wrist that we've gotten in the past. Good. Good. Let's put some sharp penalties on this. Okay? I personally think you should get a ban for life, but a 2-year suspension, you want? That'll kill his career. Good. Now, that's all I have to say. I'm not even going to say the dude's name. But let's talk a little bit about the Oakland A's situation. Again, friends and family showed up to Oakland. Everyone here who listens to this podcast knows I have such a soft spot in my heart for the Oakland A's. I love going to the Oakland Coliseum. I know people who are avid A's fans. The fans who go there just love it. I think all baseball fans should see a game in Oakland because baseball is boiled down into a Bunsen burner. There's none of the frills, it's just purely going there for baseball. And the fans who show up there are so passionate about their team. And I don't want to see the A's leave. That being said, I also understand, as someone who lived in the Bay Area for a long time, I understand that the idea of having two teams in the Bay Area may not work. That may have been a mistake. Now, let's just talk a little bit about something, though. There was a piece of news, that there is a supposedly progress being made toward the A's move to a new ballpark in Howard Terminal. That would be the new ballpark near the port. And there was a piece of news that one of the environmental reports that looked like it was going to be one of the things that was going to kill the project, it looks like it's coming out in favor of the stadium there. And there are a lot of A's fans who have come on saying this is a very big deal because for years and years, the A's have been trying to find a suitable place in the East Bay. And for whatever reason, they don't want to put it in the Coliseum parking lot, even though that, to me, that seems to be, that seems to make the most sense. And they've been taking a look at whether it's Fremont, San Jose, downtown, and now comes the Howard Terminal. Like, all these things were going against it. And this piece of news was like the first piece of good news about keeping the A's in Oakland. Something that I want to see. Probably selfishly. But the Bay Conservation the Bay Conservation Development Commission, the BCDC, recommended that the A's build on the plot of land that they've been eyeing. So this is great, right? This is fantastic. On the same day that that finding was made, there's an article in the Las Vegas Sun about the A's have a couple of front runner spots and to build a ballpark near the Tropicana in near the Tropicana Hotel in Las Vegas. Now, I got into a little bit of a back and forth with some people on Twitter about me not getting excited about the Howard Terminal news, because I've heard this. I've been hearing this now for three decades. I moved back to California in the mid-2000s, and the A's were very, very good. They got to the ALCS the first full year I was back in California. And all I heard was, they need a new park, they need a new park, they need a new park. Ever since they built that monstrosity out in center field, but even well before it. Remember, they almost moved to New Orleans. They almost moved to Denver. They almost moved here. They almost moved there. And it seems like every couple of years, we got another really, really great artist rendering. Here's a downtown park. Here's the park in Fremont. Here's the park in San Jose. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Forgive me as we enter our third decade, at least, of seeing these artist renderings of not getting super excited about the Environmental Commission news. Even if they all line up and say, this commission says this, and this commission says that, and this commission that says baby sea lions who swim up bay won't be harmed by the A's, and this group that says, oh, the microbes that live in the dirt there should survive just fine if we build a ballpark. None of that is going to get me thinking we're anywhere closer until I see a shovel go into the ground and they start building the darn thing. I still think, despite my love of having a team in the East Bay, that baseball doesn't want them there. Now, I will never understand the fixation of putting a team in Las Vegas. That makes zero sense to me. Nashville makes sense to me. Charlotte makes sense to me. Portland makes sense to me. Montreal makes a little more sense to me. Nashville is like the ideal one. And the A's have a connection with Nashville. I don't want the A's to move. And I made it clear that if they have to move, I don't want them to move to Portland. But Las Vegas is going to be a disaster. And what I think is going to happen is there's going to be some sort of horns being locked. And 4 or 5 years from now, they're still going to be in the Coliseum. And we're going to see another great rendering. Here's the new stadium they're going to build in Hayward. Here's a new stadium they're going to build in Sacramento. Here's a new stadium in Vegas. Here's a new stadium in Portland. Here's a new stadium in Yuba City. So I'm not going to get excited about it. Not until I see some actual agreements. I saw those artist renderings of Cisco Field while I worked at Cisco. And I thought, oh, look at this. I might be able to get myself a decent seat here. And they looked beautiful. Downtown San Jose Stadium. It was going to be gorgeous. It was going to be right nearby where the Sharks play. A lot of public transportation leading right there. Very similar to where they put the Giants Stadium. Never happened. I'd like to see something happen. Fremont, Oakland, San Jose, one of them. I'd like to have them stay in Oakland because Oakland's lost the Raiders. Oakland's lost the Warriors. Oakland deserves a team. I just don't see it happening. I think they're going to stay in the Coliseum for a while. And all this news about the Howard Terminal thing, sorry. To me, that's crying wolf. Wake me when you break ground. And when you wake me, guess what? I'll be doing a new podcast, as I'm doing all throughout this regular season. So follow us at Lockdown MLB Pod, same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal, Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Celebrating the, well, what could have been better, but still not bad legacy of Robinson Cano, and saying, hey, stop crying wolf in Oakland. This has been Lockdown MLB for the third day of May, 2022. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.